What if the person you think you are is actually just a passenger? Right now, as you read this sentence, your brain is making thousands of decisions without consulting you. It's adjusting your posture, filtering background noise, regulating your heartbeat, and perhaps even nudging you toward that cookie on the counter, all while you remain blissfully unaware. This isn't science fiction. It's the unsettling reality revealed in Incognito, where neuroscientist David Eagleman demonstrates that consciousness, the you experiencing this moment, is merely a tiny ambassador of a vast neural empire operating in darkness. Most of what drives your choices, shapes your personality, and defines your reality happens in neural corridors you'll never access. Beneath your skull lies the most complex structure in the known universe, 86 billion neurons forming trillions of connections, each one a universe of electrochemical activity. A single cubic centimeter of brain tissue contains as many connections as stars in the Milky Way. Yet here's what should terrify and amaze you. Conscious awareness represents perhaps 1/10 millionth of what's happening in there. Think about tying your shoes. You've done it thousands of times, yet if asked to explain the exact sequence without looking, you'd likely fail. Your hands know, your consciousness doesn't. This gap between what your brain knows and what you can access defines the human condition. This revelation doesn't just challenge how we think about ourselves, it upends our entire understanding of responsibility, morality, and what it means to be human. Your experience of reality is a magnificent construction. Vision feels effortless because 1/3 of your brain constantly interprets light patterns into meaningful scenes. You only see clearly in a narrow cone with a blind spot large enough to fit 17 moons. Your brain fills in the gaps so seamlessly, you never notice. Vision doesn't create a complete 3D model. It builds just enough of a sketch, retrieving details only when needed. Change blindness experiments reveal this fragility. People fail to notice when their conversation partner is swapped mid-conversation. When Mike May regained sight after 43 years of blindness, his eyes worked perfectly, but his brain couldn't interpret the signals. He saw meaningless patterns rather than objects. Perhaps most unsettling, perception and hallucination differ only in degree. Your brain runs primarily on internally generated activity. Sensory information merely modulates this neural firing. Dreams and hallucinations are unfastened perception, the same machinery running without external anchoring. Paul Bacchiarita created devices converting video into tactile tongue patterns, allowing blind users to directly perceive vibrations as vision. Reality is whatever your brain constructs. Japanese chicken sexers distinguish male from female day-old chicks with uncanny accuracy, yet cannot explain how. They simply look and know. Training involves apprenticeship, where masters provide only yes-no feedback until students develop unconscious expertise their conscious minds cannot access. This procedural knowledge skills your brain holds that your mind cannot retrieve governs far more of your life than you'd imagine. Men shown photos of women consistently preferred those with dilated pupils, yet none could explain why. Their brains registered an ancient signal. Dilated pupils indicate interest, while consciousness invented post hoc justifications. Your brain decides, your consciousness narrates. We're like stowaways on a steamship, taking credit for the journey, unaware of the massive engineering below deck. Your unconscious brain knows things before awareness catches up. In card drawing experiments, subjects' autonomic nervous systems registered warning signals about bad decks around the 13th draw, well before conscious awareness emerged at the 25th. Studies show people disproportionately marry others sharing the same first letter in their first name, reflecting unconscious self-love. Through priming, exposure to words makes you more likely to use them later without remembering seeing them. Previous encounters with faces make them seem more attractive, even without recognition. The conscious mind isn't the executive, it's the press secretary, explaining decisions already made in the depths. Each organism inhabits its own umwelt, a limited slice of reality determined by sensory capabilities. Humans perceive less than a 10 trillionth of the electromagnetic spectrum. Synesthetes, about 1% of the population, experience sensory blendings like colored days or tasted words, often unaware others perceive differently, highlighting how subjective reality truly is. Our brains evolved specialized neural programs for specific problems rather than general purpose logic. The if-then card problem, using numbers, stumps most people. Reframed as detecting underage drinking, most solve it easily, demonstrating specialized circuitry for social interaction and cheater detection, not abstract reasoning. Our sense of beauty similarly reflects biological programming. Attraction signals fertility. Full lips and narrow waist-to-hip ratios, 0.67 to 0.8 for women, full jaw and broad chest for men. We have almost no conscious access to these attraction mechanisms. Briefly glimpsed people appear more beautiful because our visual system errs toward reproductive opportunity. Lap dancers earn nearly twice as much during ovulation versus menstruation. In prairie voles, vasopressin creates monogamy through pleasurable mate associations. In humans, vasopressin receptor gene variations correlate with relationship quality. Men with more gene copies show weaker pair bonding. We are, fundamentally, chemical beings navigating a world our ancestors shaped. When Mel Gibson unleashed anti-Semitic remarks during his drunk driving arrest, he later apologized profusely. Did alcohol reveal his true colors or transform him into someone else? The question assumes a single true self exists, an assumption neuroscience demolishes. Your brain operates as a democracy of competing neural factions engaged in genuine conflict. When offered chocolate cake, different brain systems battle for control, some craving sugar's energy while others worry about health. This explains why you argue with yourself and feel genuinely torn. Some areas handle higher order operations about the external world, while others monitor internal states like hunger and reward. These competing systems explain struggles with delayed gratification. Offered $100 now versus $110 next week, most choose immediate reward. But when the same choice is 52 versus 53 weeks away, preferences reverse. Emotional regions activate for immediate rewards, while rational areas engage for longer-term choices. We make Ulysses contracts, binding our future selves, removing alcohol during sobriety, or surrendering money to Christmas clubs. This team of rivals provides robustness through redundancy, explaining why some people with Alzheimer's pathology show no symptoms. Other neural factions compensate for damaged regions. In August 1966, Charles Whitman climbed the University of Texas Tower and killed 13 people. His autopsy revealed a tumor pressing on his amygdala, crucial for emotional regulation. Similarly, Alex developed sudden pedophilic urges after 20 years of marriage. A brain scan revealed a massive orbitofrontal cortex tumor. After removal, his behavior normalized until the tumor regrew and the urges returned. Brains differ vastly due to genetics, maternal substance abuse, childhood neglect, head injuries, and toxin exposure, all beyond individual control. Benjamin Libet's experiments showed brain activity begins a full second before conscious awareness, suggesting consciousness merely receives news of choices already made. Currently, culpability depends on detectable brain abnormalities, but as technology improves, more defendants will fall on the not blameworthy side. A forward-looking legal system would focus on protecting society and reducing recidivism rather than assigning blame. Punishment should target modifiability, condition those who can change, while managing those with psychosis, sociopathy, or frontal maldevelopment who resist rehabilitation. Science has repeatedly dethroned human exceptionalism. Galileo's heliocentrism, Darwin placing us among animals, DNA decoding life, and now neuroscience revealing consciousness isn't in control. In 400 years, we've fallen from the universe's center to discovering we're not even at the center of ourselves. In 1848, Phineas Gage survived an iron rod shooting through his skull. While physically recovering, his personality transformed from a great favorite to fitful, irreverent, with gross profanity. Friends said he was no longer Gage. This and countless neurological cases teach the same lesson. Your brain's condition is central to who you are. Reductionism fails to explain brain and mind because of emergence. When components combine, entirely new properties appear. Just as airplane parts individually can't fly but collectively create flight, minds emerge from neurons but aren't equivalent to them. You are not the monarch of your mind, but its most vocal citizen, one voice among billions of neural constituents. You're an emergent symphony of unconscious processes producing the miracle of subjective experience. Understanding this changes everything. How we judge others, structure justice, forgive ourselves for contradictions. The next time you struggle with a decision, remember you're not weak-willed. You're a democracy in action.